Well, good evening and welcome to our Bible study this evening. If you have your Bible, I want us to turn to two passages in God's Word. The first passage is in 2 Samuel chapter 17, and then we'll turn to 2 Samuel chapter 19. And this evening we have the privilege of studying one of the greatest men in all of Scripture, a man called Barzillai the Gileadite. Many years ago, a British newspaper asked for a definition of a friend, and they asked those who could define or thought they could define the word to write in, and they would give a prize for the best definition of a friend. And people wrote, a friend is one who understands our silence. Someone says, a friend is one who multiplies joys, divides grief, and whose honesty is invaluable. In other words, it's true, it's honest. But the winning definition was given to a man who wrote this definition. A friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. Now, that sums up Barzillai the Gileadite. He was a man who came to be a friend, an encourager, a help to King David when it seemed that the whole world had turned their back upon him. And we're going to pick up in 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 27, where David is on the run from Absalom. It says, it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shubi, the son of Nahash of Rabbah of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gileadite of Rogelim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat, for they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Well, that's our introduction to this man, Barzillai, a man who was a friend to King David in his greatest hour of need. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank thee for this introduction to this great man. We pray that we would learn wonderful things from thy word about him. But not only learn, may we be inspired to be like Barzillai, a friend to those in need. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, the name Barzillai means the man of iron or man of iron. And certainly he was a strong man. He appears to be a wealthy patriarch. He's around 80 years of age in this story. Now, David's about 60 years of age in this story. Maybe you get the impression from reading it that David's a young man, but David's an old man. He's on the run from his playboy, handsome prince Absalom, who has won the hearts of all the men of Israel. And David's had to run for his life. And he's at his lowest point. And all the nation that he had helped to rescue from the catastrophe that King Saul left behind, they've turned their back on him. They said, we prefer Absalom to you. We want the young, handsome prince to the old, experienced king. And this was so hard for David, so hurtful for David. And really we could say this was David's darkest day as king in the nation. His beloved, his favorite son, Absalom, not only wanted him off the throne, but wanted to murder him. How hard, how heartbreaking this was for David. And as David made his way from his beloved Jerusalem, leaving all his wives behind, and he headed to the lonely wilderness, not knowing if he'd ever see the city again, not knowing if he'd ever be king again in the nation of Israel, God sent some unusual men to be a blessing to David. A man called Shubi, the son of Nahash of the children of Ammon, very unlikely Gentile. The Ammonites had been enemies of David's. They had been in conflict with each other, and yet God sends this man. He sends a man of Lodabar called Machir. Lodabar means wilderness. What an unlikely friend, someone from the wilderness. Someone not likely to have a great fortune, living out there in the wild, barren deserts. In fact, if you remember, that's where Mephibosheth was hiding when David was a blessing to him and brought him back to the royal palace and restored unto him the inheritance of his grandfather, King Saul. Maybe Machir remembered David's generosity, and now he responds. But the third man is the one we want to focus on, Barzillai the Gileadite. Barzillai is an old man, 80 years of age. He's coming to the end of the journey of life. And David is bankrupt, effectively. David has no way of repaying him. And all of Israel are gathered around Absalom. It seems that the old king is done. He's the one you don't want to reach out and touch and be close to, because he's the marked man, and anybody who helps him will be marked. But you know, Barzillai wasn't just kind to David, he was very generous to David. He wasn't just an encourager, he and these other men were a blessing to King David, and they brought beds, somewhere to rest, basins, earthen vessels to eat with, and then they brought this list of very expensive foods to encourage David and bless David, strengthen him, nourish him. They said the people is hungry, weary and thirsty. They felt the pain and they wanted to do something to help David. Not just to encourage him, but to nourish him and sustain him at this, his darkest hour. And these men didn't just simply say when they heard the bad news of their friend David, they didn't say, well, I'll pray for you. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying for a person who's suffering. They didn't send him a nice text message to say, well, here's a little Bible verse for you, David. There's nothing wrong with doing that either. But they went much further. They not only prayed for David, sent him a nice message, but they came and gave of their wealth and their resources to bless David. And you know, there's a lesson there. It's not enough to identify someone's need. If you have the ability, if God has given you the ability to meet that need, you should do it. And these men gave of the blessings God had given them to help somebody who had lost so much. And they didn't just give him a few scraps, a bag of rice, and a bottle of water. You notice as you read here, some of these things are delicacies. Parched corn was considered a great delicacy. Cheese of kine. They blessed David with abundance of good things and delicacies. And you know, they were givers. Whenever a person is a giver, they reflect the heart of God. For God is the one who gives and gives and gives. Every good gift and every perfect gift, the Bible says, cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. God's a giver. A giver of gifts and grace and blessings in abundance to his people. And these men, particularly Barzillai, was a man who reflected the heart of God. And they give generously to a man who had no means of repaying them. And from a human perspective, didn't seem to ever have any means of repaying them. But rather they give because they saw it was the right thing to do. They wanted to do it, to be a blessing to King David. And you see in Barzillai the attitude of, I'm going to help this man. He's discouraged. He's down. He's hungry. And God has been so good to me, and I want to be good to him. I want to bless him. But you also see in Barzillai a friend who is willing to help David no matter what the cost, not just in terms of financial cost in giving these gifts, but in terms of loss to his own reputation. Remember, at this moment, Absalom is the new king. Absalom has the majority of the people with him. Absalom has the army with him. And Barzillai is an old man. He doesn't have an army. He doesn't have a castle to hide behind. He lives in this land, probably on the east side of Jordan, a place called, it's a strange name, Rogelim, or I really don't know how to pronounce it, Rogelim. He lives over in Rogelin. And that's about 50 miles the other side of Jordan, according to the historians. Roughly there, on the east side of Jordan, the Gileadite area. And here's this old man. And in taking the risk to help David, it's going to bring the wrath of the new king upon him, Absalom. He's risking his own livelihood. He's risking his reputation. He's risking his family's lives. But yet this man does what is right, what he believes God wants him to do. And he leaves the consequences in God's hands. He says, I'm just going to do this because it's the right thing to do. Never mind what other people think. Never mind what problems come my way because of it. I'm doing this because my friend David, who I love and respect, is in trouble. And I have a duty to help, and I'm going to help, no matter what the cost. And I'm sure there are many people who said to him, well, if you don't want to hinder David, at least just be neutral. Wait and see how the wind blows on this matter. Wait and see, does Absalom take complete control, or David fights back? There's no need to get involved. Or if you're going to help David, do it discreetly, not in a very public way. Do it using others, use proxies to be a blessing to King David. Of course, no doubt there were some who would have told him, throw your weight behind Absalom. Absalom's the up-and-coming one. David's the old man. He's done. His time is over. And it'd be wise for you and for your family and for your business interests to make friends with the new king. Maybe some even would say, we should be a hindrance to David. We should report his movements to Absalom. But how differently Barzillai acts to so many. He is a friend to David in his hour of need. He is a friend to David consistently. He is a friend to David no matter what the cost to him. Now let me just sum up by saying this about these men, including Barzillai. None of these men are significant from the world's perspective. In fact, most of us listening here this evening have rarely heard of the names. Some of us may never have heard of their names. And we say, well, why are these men significant? Well, they're significant in this sense. These men are integral to the plan of God to preserve the life of this man David and his followers. They're integral to play this supporting role. And not everybody can be a David. Not everybody can be the sweet psalmist. Not everybody can be Israel's greatest king. Not everybody can be in the line of the Messiah. But you and I could be a Shobi. We could be a Makir. We could be a Barzillai. We could be a helper to those who are like King David. And the fact that this subject is dealt with here, these men are referenced here and placed in Holy Scripture, is for you and I to grasp this, that God sees what they did. God approves of what they did. And God wants you and I to learn from their example and the way they came alongside David and were a blessing to David. They're also a reminder to you and I that God often uses God's people to provide for the needs of those who are in need. Hudson Taylor once told his workers, depend on it. God's work done God's way will always find God's supply. And that's so true. God will always raise up men like Shobi and Makir and Barzillai in your hour of need to be a help, to be a blessing, to come alongside and encourage, and to do it unconditionally. These men were not getting anything from it. It's one thing to help a king when the king is rising in terms of his power and influence because you know that you will obtain some favor, some goodwill. But there's nothing in it for these men. Only problems, potentially, in helping a man like David. But there's one other thing I just want to notice in passing. King David, from the moment we first meet him, right up until this point, was a man who was always generous to help others. If you remember the famous incident with Mephibosheth, how one of the first things David did when he became king was to reach out the hand of friendship to Mephibosheth. And not reach out, just reach out the hand, and welcoming him and assuring him that things are good between David and him, David blessed him with the abundance of good things and restored unto him a great fortune from Saul's inheritance, and made clear that Mephibosheth was to be a blessed man, and for the rest of his days he was to sit at David's table and receive of the finest. And David was a generous man to those in need. He was a helper to the helpless. And don't you see something interesting? God here allows David to reap what he sowed. Sometimes we see that statement, you'll reap what you sow, from the book of Galatians, in a very negative way. And yes, it's true that if you sow sin and sow wickedness into your life, you'll reap that harvest. But it's also true that if you sow blessings and show kindness and sow seeds of grace in the lives of others through your life, don't be surprised that even in this life, you discover God will allow you to reap such grace, such blessings, when you need help from others. But then, moving quickly to the last part of this story. If you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 19, David became king once again after the battle with Absalom and the death of Absalom. And David is making his way back to the palace in Jerusalem. And as he makes his way across the Jordan, we're told in verse 31 of 2 Samuel chapter 19, that this is a very different context. David no longer is the one in retreat. He's now the one who's victorious. David no longer is the one losing the kingdom. He's going back to take the kingdom. And if there's ever a golden moment for Barzillai to take advantage of this relationship, this is it. And we're told in 2 Samuel chapter 19 that Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. So David appears to be on the east side of the Jordan, going across to the west side, to the city of Jerusalem. And old Barzillai, 80 years of age, makes this long journey, probably about 50 miles. There's no car, there's no aeroplane, there's no train to take him. Probably went by foot. For an old man, this is a difficult journey, but he wants to be there because he's heard the good news that God has shown grace to David in giving him the victory over Absalom. And Barzillai makes his journey not to enrich himself, but to bless the king, to show his encouragement to David, his excitement that God has honored David in this way. God has blessed David in this way. And he makes this long journey. It must have been difficult for an old man. And he comes to the Jordan. And we're told in verse 32, he's a very aged man. He's a man who's lived a long life. He's now frail and weak, but he makes it. And we're told he had provided the king of sustenance when he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. So the Holy Spirit underlines once again, don't forget the graciousness of Barzillai. Don't forget the generosity of Barzillai. When the king was at his lowest point, when the king had nothing to offer him, Barzillai wasn't just kind to him, Barzillai was generous to him. Barzillai was an encouragement to him. And David, in verse 33, says to him, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. God rewards the faithfulness of Barzillai in not only seeing the king restored, but now God offers him a golden opportunity to enrich himself, to live the life of a king, to be at the royal palace and have access to the power of the throne. And no doubt that would help his business and his family and all his relationships. You know, sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes we bless others and there is no immediate reward. But of course, there'll be a reward in the life to come. But in this case, he does live to see David restored. He does live to see this opportunity. And King David, typical of him, doesn't forget those who stood with him in the dark days. David doesn't get so caught up in the drama and the excitement and the fervor of going back to Jerusalem that he forgets those who stuck by him in the hard days, in the difficult days. And David says straight away, come with me. And I'm sure that wasn't just in a sense to reward him. I'm sure David thought to himself, what a blessing it would be to have a man like that near me, to hear him pray, to listen to his words of encouragement, to have a man that I can turn to for advice, who is unconditional in his friendship and his love to me. You know, it's sad when Christians forget those who are a blessing to them, forget those who have helped them in their dark days, and now take advantage of them. But David doesn't. And David pauses to wait for this man and to bless this man. And you know, it is something we all must do. We must seek to help those who are helpless. Seek to help those in need. I remember a pastor telling me years ago about how he deals with those who come to him from his church who want to go into the ministry or go to the mission field. And he told me that he gathered his elders around many, many years ago at the start of his church, and the elder said to him, you know, we can't afford to help everybody who wants to be a missionary or a pastor. And he said to them, listen, we are going to help everybody that we can help. And he said, well, so many will not make it. He says, well, never mind that. He said, if that person doesn't make it in the ministry on the mission field, that's between them and God. But what we are not going to have in our church is a situation where that person is able to say, I failed as a missionary, I failed as a pastor, because my church that I grew up in failed to help me. If they failed because of academics, if they fail because of some defect in their character and their work ethic, that's their problem. But they're not going to fail because we didn't support them. And we're going to stand behind every single one that God gives us the ability. And you know, that was the heart of Barzillai, but it's also the heart of David. Just wants to help. Just wants to be a blessing. Just wants to be an encouragement to those in need. And he so touched David's heart that David offers him this golden ticket. I don't know if you remember the story of Willy Wonka and the chocolate factory and how they're all looking for the golden ticket. Well, all the people, millions of people probably in the nation of Israel and beyond the borders of Israel, would have sought the golden ticket to be in the royal palace, to be around the greatest king of the world at that time, King David, to have access to the levers of power and influence, to feed at the table of David, not just in material terms, but in terms of political influence and listening to all the chat and all the center of power as information flowed from the far corners of the empire into the royal palace. And people would have said, I'll do anything to have such a position, to have such influence, to have the ear of the king, to have the friendship of a man like David, to listen to him speak and listen to him lead in worship with his harp and sing the songs of Zion, and to be in the royal palace in Jerusalem. Oh, I just love to have that situation, to have that privilege. And Barzillai was offered this golden ticket, a ticket that people would have thought he'd be mad to refuse. But notice how he responds. And he points out to David a very human problem. He says in verse 34, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? He says, David, I'm an old man. How many more days have I left on this earth? Not many. I have to be honest. I'm not unrealistic. I'm not in denial. And he goes on to say, I am this day 80 years old. He says, I'm 80. David, you're 20 years younger than me. I'm an old man. I'm at the end of the journey of life. And can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then shouldest thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? He says to David, you know, David, all the things that young men crave, young people aspire to have, I've lost interest in those things. I just like to live a simple life. to be surrounded by the common sights that I grew up with as a boy. I don't want to get caught up in the politics and the busyness. I don't want to eat the rich foods. And at my advanced age, Barzillai says to David, I just want to die a decent death. I want to die a God-honoring death. I don't want to live a dynamic life. I have no more years left, or very few years left, on this earth. And you know, what he's saying is this, and really, as I say, it's a human problem. When you get older, you realize that all the things that you thought were so important are not so important anymore. And all the dreams and ambitions and desires that young people have, you don't have them anymore. And the desire to be popular and famous and wealthy, those things die in us, generally, the older we get. And the desire to see all the things of this world, those things generally aren't part of our makeup, the older we become. That's why immigration, for example, is generally a young person's game. You rarely see old people migrating to another country, to another culture. They just prefer the simple life, the homely life. And here, Barzillai is offered this golden ticket. And David says, I'll give you all the wealth. I'll give you all the power. I'll give you all the entertainment, the best entertainment money can buy in Jerusalem. And Barzillai says, no, I just want to live a simple life at home. I just want to eat the simple food I ate as a boy. I just want to enjoy my children, my grandchildren, and see them grow up. I just want to spend my last days surrounded by the familiar sights and smells of my childhood. And really what he's saying to you and I, he's teaching us not just how to live, Barzillai, by being generous and gracious and unconditional in his love and friendship to David, but he's also teaching us how to die, how to prepare for the last years of our life, not to be greedy, not to be too ambitious, but to just be content in the place that God has given us. And by refusing David's incredible offer, Barzillai is also saying, David, I'm your friend not because of what I can get from you, but I'm your friend and I will bless you in your hour of need because it's the right thing to do, David. I didn't do it to get an advantage. I didn't do it as an investment hoping that I would get a big return one day. I did it, David, because it was the God-glorifying thing to do. It was the right thing to do. But then in verse 37, Barzillai says something very interesting. Because he recognizes that not everybody's like him. And you know, that's something we all have to recognize. Just because you may be at a stage in life that certain things do not interest you anymore, it doesn't mean that others may not be interested. And just because the opportunity is not one that you desire for yourself, it doesn't mean that you inhibit others being blessed by the opportunity. And in verse 37, he says to David, let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. He says, David, I just want to go home and die. I want to die in my home, in my bed, and I want to be buried beside my dad and beside my mom. You understand that, David? You're getting on yourself, but you're not just as far down the road as me. But then he says this to David, behold thy servant Chimham. Let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what seem good unto thee. What's Barzillai say here? He says to David, there's someone who would enjoy this. There's someone who could be blessed by your generosity. It's my faithful servant, Chimham. Now, we don't know if this is a relative of his or just someone who's been a blessing in Barzillai's life. And Barzillai says, David, I don't want to begrudge others the blessing. Bless them. Take care of them. And do to them what you wanted to do to me. And it shows here that this man, Barzillai, he's still caring for others. Isn't that amazing? That even in this hour of blessing, this golden ticket that's been offered to him, he turns it aside and he says, not for me, David. Thank you for it. Appreciate the offer. But then he says to David, Could you help somebody else? Could you bless someone else? And even at this delicate moment in their relationship, how David's appreciation for this man Barzillai must have grown. And David says to him, Chimham shall go over with me, verse 38, and I will do to him which shall seem good unto thee, and whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. David says, of course I will. And you have my word, Barzillai. I will bless him the way I would have blessed you. But then he just adds these words. That's so typical of David. Not to miss out any opportunity, because he says in response to Barzillai, don't forget to call me if you really need any help. If there's anything I can do for you, large or small, give me a shout, give me a call, give me a message, and I'll be there as best I can. But then there's one other verse we have to check out before we finish this evening. And it's a verse that says so much about David, but also so much about Barzillai and his family. Because if you go to 1 Kings and chapter 2, Barzillai is mentioned one more time in the life of King David. And in 1 Kings chapter 2, King David now is an old man. He's about to die. Go off to eternity. And we know from the story that David's physical body is very wasted. In fact, the Bible says he couldn't even keep warm. He was an old, frail man. The young, powerful warrior was now done. And he's about to go to eternity. And on his way to heaven, in his last few days on earth, he calls Solomon aside and he encourages Solomon to walk with God. And he explains to Solomon all the difficulties and problems that Solomon will face when he becomes the king of Israel. And he tells Solomon of people that he will have to deal with. But having given Solomon all those pointers, some of them are very difficult pointers for Solomon to receive, for Solomon to deal with a man like Joab, for example. That's a hard message from David. Because Joab's a difficult enemy, a powerful enemy, a ruthless enemy. But then in verse 7 of 1 Kings chapter 2, David says this, but show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite. Now we assume from that this Chimham may well have been one of the sons. We certainly assume from the way he speaks here that Barzillai has passed away, because he doesn't mention Barzillai, just his sons. And he says to Solomon, show kindness unto these sons. Let them be of those that eat at thy table, for so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom, my brother. I'm amazed at that, because that tells us that David still had a heart for Barzillai. Even in David's last moments, his last words, he says to Solomon, don't forget to bless this man. And he may longer be with us. Bless his sons, for they also came to help with their father in my dark days, my hard days. And Solomon, I want you to continue this legacy of being a blessing to those who have been a blessing to me. And no doubt David's also thinking that having men of that caliber close to Solomon would have a very godly influence on Solomon. Would be men who would look out for Solomon the same way they looked out for David. And David says, think much about this family. Keep them close to you, Solomon. Keep blessing them, Solomon. Now, I don't know if Solomon did. As you read the life of Solomon, you almost wonder, did he really? Because he was a very self-centered man. He was a very ambitious man. And men like that would really be a hindrance, would be a rebuke to him in his greed and his selfishness. Let me wrap this up by saying this. Barzillai may not have been honored in the sense of coming to live in the royal palace, but God honored him. God honored him by putting his name in scripture. And for 3,000 years now, people have been reading of Barzillai the Gileadite and been inspired by his story. Being blessed by his story. Being even convicted by his story. Maybe you're listening to me this evening and you feel, well, you know, I want to be more like him. I should be more like him. I wish I was more like Barzillai. Well, God's talking to you. Don't shake off the conviction. Embrace it and say, Lord, make me like this man, Barzillai the Gileadite. And you know, God never forgets, one simple act of graciousness and kindness to those in need. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said, if anyone gives a cup of cold water, that's about as cheap and simple a gift as you can give to any person. A cup of cold water. Christ says this, he shall in no wise lose his reward. God will never forget. Even a cup of cold water done with the right motivation for the glory of God. And Barzillai, he was a man who was a great friend. He was a man who was a great encourager to those in need. And let me say this in closing. Encouragement, friendship, is integral to Christianity. It's integral to a spiritual life. And we need to be encouragers because there are so many people having a hard time. So many people going through difficult days, especially right now. As we come towards the second coming of Jesus, all around the world, there are hurting people. There are frightened people. There are people in need. And what we can, we have a duty to do. There's so much despair and sadness in the world. The famous film movie producer Howard Hughes was a very wealthy man. It was said that he was worth $4 billion before he died. But because of his wealth and his greed and his sinful life, he was a man that people could not be close with. People had to keep their distance from. One day before he died, he said this. He said, I would give up all of my money if I could just have one good friend. What a tragedy. What a statement on the emptiness of life without true friends. Let me say this in closing. Let me give you three things that you must do this week. You should do this week. And it really can be summed up with these three words. Look, wait, go. Look out for an opportunity to be a blessing to some soul today. You know, there are far too many people. And they go around with a little microscope to see if they can find a fault in a person. I say this to you, throw away your microscope and go around with an open heart and an open hand and say, Lord, may I find someone that I can be a Barzillai to this week. Then the second thing to do, wait. Not just look, but wait. Wait what? Wait before you criticize a person. Wait before you issue a rebuke to a person. Wait and say, I must pray first for that person. I must pray for myself that I have the right attitude, the right spirit towards that person. And you know, if you were to do that, if we criticize and discourage others before praying, before waiting, we run the risk of speaking with the wrong motive. We run the risk of speaking the wrong way and doing more damage with our interventions, if we don't have the right heart and the right motive in dealing with the person. But then here's the third thing. Wait. Look. But then the third thing I said is go. Go ahead and encourage a person that God lays upon your heart or in your path this week. If you have that impulse or if you see the opportunity, go and do it. Don't think about it. Don't wait, delay, because if you wait too long, it's too late. The opportunity may be gone. If God gives you the opportunity, if God impulses your heart about a person, to lift the phone, to send them a message, to go and visit them, to go and have a meal with them, to go and send them something to encourage them, do it. Do it. May God bless you to do it. May God help you to do it. Look. Wait, and then go. That's my advice to you this evening. Many years ago, a famous musical composer, Ludwig van Beethoven, I'm sure you've heard of his name, was very, very discouraged. He was discouraged because his life seemed to be in free fall. He had wonderful musical gifts. But unfortunately for him, his eyesight was failing. Some think his eyesight was failing because he kept putting his head in ice cold water to try and keep awake when he was composing and writing music. We just don't know exactly the reason. One day Beethoven was walking around discouraged. He went past a shoemaker's house and he heard a young woman trying to compose and play some music. And he listened carefully and he discovered what she was trying to play on that instrument was one of his compositions. He went into the house and this little girl he discovered was blind. And she said, "I wish somebody could help me play this beautiful music." Beethoven said to her, "I can help." He got on the piano and he began to play, and he played for hour after hour. As he played, it turned late at night, the moon came out and the candles were burning. And as he played, he saw the joy in her response. He was so encouraged by her kindness, by her grace, by her thrill of the blessing of his music, that he went home that evening. And it said he began to compose one of his greatest compositions, the Moonlight Sonata. You see what encouragement can do to others? See what friendship can do to us? It can inspire us. It doesn't just help them, but it inspires us to be a greater blessing. And so many of us fail to take advantage of the opportunities. And you know, if you fail to be like Barzillai, you feel to be like Jesus Christ, because he's the great encourager of his people. And we need this truth. We need this teaching more than ever today, as the world around us is heading towards a great judgment day. As we see the day approaching, we're to consider one another, Hebrews tells us, and provoke one another unto good works. In other words, stir each other up, encourage others to do the right thing, to walk a better life. And every single one of us, every single Christian, has been chosen and called by God to be an encourager to our fellow believers. And I say to you, your brothers and sisters are in difficulties tonight. Be an encourager. Be a Barzillai. Be a help to them. Let us all begin to be a Barzillai today. May God help you to do so, and may God bless you and use you. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for this wonderful man, Barzillai, a man of unconditional help and love and friendship in dark days and difficult days in David's life. And what a man you brought alongside him, and what a blessing he was to David. And is it so interesting to see that David never forgot, and David pleaded with him to come and live beside him in Jerusalem. And even when Barzillai had passed away and David was taking his last breath, he says to Solomon, "Continue to remember this man's family. Continue to bless them, because they were such a blessing to me in my darkest days." Help us, Lord, to not just hear thy word this evening, but help us to respond to it the right way. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you for listening, and may God help you to be an encourager and a friend like Barzillai to someone this day. Thank you.